I want to preface tonight, I will probably be on some things that might not come across real good. It's not my intention whatsoever. Listen to what's being said tonight, because I think there's some really, really some marvelous thoughts that God would have us to have, I believe. We're going to be talking tonight about filial love. Understand in the Greek language that there are three words used for love. We looked at last week agape. Tonight we want to look at filio. We will not be looking at the third one, which is eros, which is sexual love. You don't find it in the New Testament. But you do find agape, you do find filio. And most of the time you find, of course, these words translated as love. The agape love, and especially 1 Corinthians 13, is translated charity, which what we learn from that kind of love is that it is giving. And that's the kind of love God wants to have. And by the way, that's the kind of love God gives to us. Amen. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Though it's only used one time, for every five times that agape is used, I believe that it's still very important in the realm of where we've been dealing lately in marriage. Now, most in this room, you're either married, you're thinking about, and you're wanting to be, or whatever. And it's a fairly normal part of life, as we know. But also, we need to understand that anytime we talk about marriage, we can apply some of the principles in all aspects of our life, especially those that are close relationships. And so I want us tonight to look at this word filio. You're not going to find it in your Bible as that. You have to look at a Greek New Testament, and takes a little bit of work or whatever. But nonetheless, we're going to learn some very, I think, important things about it. The very base meaning of a filial love is to like something. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5. Matthew 6, 5, it says this: "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Now we notice there that word love: "for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue." Now I don't believe that's the kind of love that we're speaking of when we talk about God loving us. This is more like what we would use the word like. The other night I was listening to an interview of a young person, and they were asking about some political things, and I think that every third word was like. It's like, man, like, you know, I'm over and over and over. And does those kind of things drive you nuts? Thankfully, there wasn't a lot of gas there, so they didn't take me too far. But nonetheless, this is a word that's really talking about how they like to stand praying in the synagogues. They like to be seen of men. We also find another verse in chapter 20 of book of Luke in verse 46. And there it says, "Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets." Are we talking about agape love there? No, I don't think so. The word filio is used. And really, I believe it's talking in this light of enjoying something or enjoying somebody. There's joy that's taking place, the result of it. So it's a matter of liking. Perhaps in its highest sense is that of fellowship or friendship. The book of John, chapter 5, and verse number 20 says, "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." The Father loveth the Son. Now that's interesting there. Now that word there is filio. However, we also find in John 3:35 the word agape is used, where it talks about God loving his Son. Both of them are used. And so we think about that in the sense of God. It's an area of great fellowship or friendship. If you like somebody, you're probably friends with them. Isn't that true? Now we have in our day and age something I believe has really destroyed the concept of friends, and it's called Facebook. And so we have, somebody says, I got 563 friends. Oh, really? And how often do you talk to them? Well, I post something every now and then. And they hit like. I don't think that's even a good filial like that's on there. But anyways, the highest sense, I believe, is in this area of friendship. When we look at John chapter 11, verse 36, we find in that chapter, of course, the Lord Jesus is going to heal Lazarus, or excuse me, I should say raise him from the dead. And we get down to verse 36, it says, then the Jews, or said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And it uses the word filial there, and it's talking about, I believe, a very close relationship, a very close friendship. And one of the interesting things, if you ever do it sometime, is to study Jesus and Lazarus and these two sisters, Mary and Martha. There seemed to be something between them. And he had some great fellowship with these folks. And so it's a matter of a tremendous friendship. There's a couple of places where we find that these two words are really somewhat interchangeable. Let me read to you. Revelation 3:19, it says, as many as I love, the word filial is used there, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. And then in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 6, very similar, says, for whom the Lord loveth, agape, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I believe what we can look at is we can see that agape love is giving. We saw that quite clearly last week as we studied that. But I believe here, as we come to this word filial, or this word love, in when it's translated from the word filial, is a word that simply means, or could be referred to as, that which is sharing. Sharing. One is giving, one is sharing. I find that far too many, I can't even talk tonight, far too many, let me stop here. I knew I was going to speak in tongues one of these days, and I just got it done. Far too many, I can't even do it yet. Many marriages are two people in the same house, but each off on their own course. And there's not a sharing of experiences. And there needs to certainly be that kind of sharing. So as we stop and think about it, just those few thoughts, I want to ask this question. What does this filial love entail? What does it entail? And I want to describe two or three things here for you, go into some detail with it, and I hope they've helped to you tonight. First of all, I believe it entails, I've already said, friendship. Friendship. Interesting, Titus chapter 2. If you turn there with me, I'd appreciate it. Titus chapter 2, have your, get your spot there. Titus chapter 2, it's one we can kind of look at from time to time. And notice what it says. Titus chapter 2, it's talking here about the different people within a local church or even in a family and their responsibilities. Notice verse 4, it says that they, it's referring to the elderly ladies, that they teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. I find that quite interesting. I thought, according to our standard today, you got married because you were in love. By the way, the Bible never says that you are to fall in love. It does say that you are to love. There is a difference. And the word that is used here is the word philandris. And if you stop and think about that, it almost sounds like philanthropy. And that word philandris, where it's talking about the women are to, they are to teach the young women to love their husband, philandris is the word used. It's a combination of two words. It's a combination of filio and andros. And if you know science fiction of today, you know what android means. It comes from basically the same word. And andros is a basic root word for husband. And so it's talking about a friendship with the husband. So what is the women of the church supposed to teach the younger women? Basically, that the wife is to, what? Love her husband, or to be a friend to her husband. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. There we find the husband is commanded to love his wife. And evidently, as we read that verse, it is God's intent for the man to initiate that kind of love. I believe it's really a bad idea. We have it happen in our society today whereby a lot of girls go after the guys. And I mean, they throw themselves at them. Girls be hard to get. Amen? Well, I'll never get a guy. You don't want one of those other kind. Okay? And he is to be the aggressor. I mean, there are girls, they'll call boys, they'll chase after boys. I mean, it's ridiculous. And that's just not the right way to go. God wants the man to be the initiator in this agape love. Now here in the book of Titus and chapter number 2, we find that the wife is commanded to be a friend. And if we use the same deduction as we do for the husband, it seems as though God is trying to say something, and that is that she is to initiate this kind of love, that of friendship. Now, that's not a politically correct statement, but I believe what he's trying to say is that the wife ought to adjust, here's where I'm going to get in trouble, and modify her life for her husband, not the other way around. He gives himself to her, but she then shares his ideas, his dreams, and all that he is. Wives who won't willingly go along with at least some of his pursuits will probably find herself entirely outside of his circle. We find that over and over and over again. Friendships are built on sharing of interests. And this provides really a foundation of a strong marriage. And there are things that you are interested in. I remember way back, and this was kind of on the reverse side, but I remember when I started dating my wife, she loved cats. I hated cats. I don't know why I hated cats. It went clear back because I had a cat did something on me, and I thought all cats were the same way. That's like people who say, I'm not going to church ever because somebody hurt my feelings, you know, 10,000 years ago. Stupid reason. And if I was going to have her, I wasn't going to dislike cats. And I began to like cats. I still, to this day, there's something about cats that intrigued me. And there's a lot of guys sitting here, not me, I just assumed they was all dead. you can have your feelings. Anyways, you're not married to my wife. But I began to share an interest with her. And those kinds of things build a strong relationship. And far too often what we find is wives won't adjust to his interests, and then they wonder why his agape love is struggling. The woman who does adjust finds his agape love is ever increasing. And so as he gives and she takes and shares, then it increases the giving and she increases the sharing. It's just a great circle that is upward and marvelous and beautiful as we think about that. But God wants us to have friendships in marriage. He ought to be your best friend. One with whom you share so many, many different things. Now, in light of that, and with that thought in mind, there is something that's very important when we think about friendships, and I'll just use the big word communication. Communication. It's the stuff friendships are made of. Again, I'm thinking back in the days when we were dating, and I'd spend my time. I'd be home at 12 o'clock. I knew that in 3.5 minutes I could get from her house to my house and walk in the door and I wouldn't get in trouble. And so at about 11:56, I'd be heading to the car, so I'd get in and take off and go to the house. And walk in the house at 12 o'clock. You know what I did next? I went to the phone to call her to let her know I made it. And then we'd talk a little bit more. That was okay. Mom and Dad were back asleep and everything worked all right in that regard. But a lot of talking, a lot of exchanges that take place. There needs to be communication. Now, there are two extremes that take place in families and couples and relationships, and that is not talking about problems. By the way, marriages are going to, you're going to run into problems, isn't that true? You're going to have obstacles, you're going to have all sorts of things that, come into play, and so we need each other, and so what happens is many times we don't talk about the problems, or on the other side of the story, somebody explodes. Now, in most homes, not all, the man will bury the problem. He'll just clam up. And the woman will blow her stack. Sometimes it's the other way around. It's really dangerous when both have a stack that blows. You know what I'm saying? But we find that communication becomes a tremendous problem. The truth is that two people living in the same place are going to irritate each other from time to time. If I went around the room tonight and I would say to each one of you, and I'd have your spouse have their hood over their head and earplugs in their ears, and we were to go around and I'd take the men first and they would tell me, this irritates me about my wife. You guys would have something. Careful you don't shake your head right now. She's watching. But if we did the same thing, you ladies say, boy, there are some things that irritate me about him. And little things that we do, little things that are, some of it comes from our background. Some of those things are, especially in the early years of a marriage, you might have done it at home. Maybe the guy at home just never cleaned up after himself. His mother did it all, and he didn't know how to do it. And so when it's time to go to bed, he throws the socks on the floor and wherever else things get pitched, and he jumps in bed. And it irritates the fire out of her. There are things like that. Over time, these irritations will cause a once-closed relationship becomes strained. Isn't that true? And we've all been there to some extent, to some degree, probably. Now, there's some principles of communication that I'd just like to share with you. I wish I could say these original, but one of them is timing. Timing. You've been at work all day. The wife, she's been home babysitting or taking care of the kids. And she scrubbed the floor. I mean, she's she's done the dishes and the kids have messed it all up and there's papers all over the living room. And you walk in the door and she immediately gives you all of her problems. You've been at work. You've been stressed out like crazy. And the last thing you want to hear is all of her problems, or the last thing she wants to hear is all of your problems. Isn't that true? Timing. Timing. So what do you do? Well, listen, there are some things that we can do when it comes to our timing. It's not good to start on a problem the minute somebody walks in the door. Choose a time when both of you are refreshed. Dishes are done. Kids are in bed. I don't know, whatever it is. And then when we talk about it, be thoughtful and considerate. As you choose that time to talk, timing is very, very critical in these kinds of things. If something just happened, that's probably not a good time to get all over her case. If she's already upset a little bit, or he, whichever direction it is, it's not going to help it any. Communication. Does God want us to communicate? Evidently, because he gave us mouth and ears. And the ability to form words. Another principle, privacy. Never, 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 ever discuss your personal problems in front of others, especially your children. And all the kids in this room could say, amen. If you want to destroy those kids, fight in front of them. It scares the fire out of them. They've heard too many divorce stories. Don't discuss those in front of others, especially your children. So there's timing, there's privacy. I would put this word in there, proportion. Proportion. In other words, if you got something you talk about on the negative side, wouldn't it be good also to have something that's good? Huh? Instead of all the time dealing with problems, why not have a few good things to talk about? Have some good fellowship. Use some time to do that. There are things you can talk about. Intersperse them. Learn how to do that. Another thing I believe is very critical here, and I'll use the word kindness. Whatever you say can be done so in a kind way. It might take some forethought. Book of Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love. We need to be kind as we speak one to another. Not with, I was going to use the word forced words, I'm not sure. Perhaps emphasis that is too harsh and those kind of things. Just be kind. And oh, here's the last one. Never, never, ever, ever, ever lose your temper. Don't lose it. It's too valuable. Hang on to it. Get mad at the devil, but not your spouse. It always leads to shouting rather than resolving. It won't help. Well, I already told him off. Yeah, and he's off on his way out the door, maybe never to come back. Don't lose your temper. Well, preacher, what can we talk about? Hey, I got one for you. It's probably where most marriages end up in divorce over to anything else, and that is finances. The financial area of our lives, the handling of money, cause more intense fellowship, according to Doc, than anything else. Discuss things that you want to do, things that you intend to do. I hate to tell you about this. A couple years ago, I did something. I went and bought something, didn't tell my wife. She has not forgot. It did not help family situations. I sold it. Begrudgingly, I would have to say, but I got rid of it. Finances. Talk about those things. Far too often, a guy goes out and he sees this, he wants and that. You know, he goes and he pays $3,000-$4,000 for a new boat, and the wife says, well, how in the world do you spend that kind of money? I'm trying to save up for a $100 dress. Well, what you don't know is he saw you buy 20 dresses already, and he hadn't bought his boat yet. So anyways, everybody. But it's good to talk about those things so that we're on the same page. Amen? Things to talk about. Those things that aggravate. Here's something I have found. When you allow the other one to explain their action, it's probably very likely it will reduce the agitation you have. They did something that aggravated you, and if you will take the time and instead of hollering about it and just say something kindly about it, and they would probably explain why that took place. I'll give you a for instance, it happened tonight. I walk in the kitchen, I see water running. And the dishes were in the sink and the water's running, and I see the water's not filling up. I see, you know that little strainer that stops the water? Hello, you know, y'all here? Okay. It was set in cockeyed. And so I go over and I look at that, and I think, you know, this ain't right. And I don't know if I said something, I don't know. But Jo quickly told me that she was getting the water hot before she started filling up the sink. Made sense. Amen. I was agitated, all that water going down the sink for no reason. But there was a reason. I just didn't know what it was. You know what I'm saying? Eh? And when we can explain those things, it can take care of so many problems. What can we talk about? Hey, how about your day? Don't start out with all the problems either. Bring home some blessings that took place. And that allows each of you to have a greater part of each other's lives. You see, these are just common sense thing, are they? Is that why over 50% of the divorces take place in our churches? Things you talk about. Hey, how about your children? How about your children? I mean, they've been bad, they've been good, they've been on top of the cabinets, they've been underneath the bed. They have been all over the place. They have done this, they have done that. They came to you with the sweetest little story and hug. And all of those things can be related one with another. Along the same line, family, neighborhood news. Oh, forgive me, because I'm thinking of way back when I was a kid, the one woman who stood at her porch and she had the blinds open, she was looking all the time. If she'd wrote the newspaper, we could have bought it and know what was going on in the neighborhood. Husbands, by the way, you might not be really interested in the in-laws, but be a good listener anyways. Amen? What are you talking about? Vacations, planning vacations. You know, once in a while, a husband goes to do something, the wife goes to do something, there's things of that nature, but there are some families, they never take a vacation together. They never do anything together like that. And it's something that you can sit down and talk about, and things you want to do while you're there and so forth. And it helps one to know what the other one would like to do while they're out there. Now, one may not want to do it, but listen, we can always watch, can't we? I've done something twice when I've been down in Florida that my wife would never do in 1,000 years. And I went up on a, what do you call that thing? Parasail. If I could, I'd do it again. Teresa was my partner on one of them. She was scared to death up there. You might not do everything together, but you can watch. Amen? You can be there. Hey, have you ever noticed? We're just like little kids. Dad, watch me, see? And we get older, it's somewhat the same thing. Right? We talk about those things. Things that interest recreationally. Be excited genuinely about what your spouse enjoys doing. I could never like that. Well, maybe if you learn a little bit about it, you might. Don't tell anybody. Mrs. Springer keeps up with Nebraska football. She hates football. I should have talked about that one before I got to the pulpit. Talk about your weekly plans. Keep you informed of schedules. What's going to take place? I think there's a great app that I have on my phone. It's basically a calendar. And all of our appointments, everything that we got lined up in mind, I put on there. And so I know what's taking place. And if I got something I got to do, I can look up there and I say, no, I can't do that. I got to take her to the doctor or whatever it might be. But we plan our week. And then I would say this, things to talk about. one of them is be willing to apologize and seek forgiveness as necessary. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying, I did wrong. Please forgive me. Remember something. I believe for the most part, husbands initiate the agape love. And that's the love of giving. And if I understand Titus here, it's the wife who initiates the filial love, that of sharing. And when you and I are in our rightful places and following God's command, it can make for beautiful marriages. Amen.